your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This episode of Nothing Major is brought to you by Vuori. Stevie J, I've been wearing their core shorts a lot lately, and people have been telling me that I won't be able to fit into them. They're wrong. I can. I feel like I look great in them, and they've sort of become my default shorts that I wear.
Yeah, the core shorts, they are all the shorts that I wear. I don't own any other kinds. They're most comfortable. They don't look like gym clothes. So when I am cruising around at the park, cruising around downtown, you name it, I look and feel as comfortable as possible.
Yeah, and they have this built-in liner that is actually like really comfortable. A lot of shorts that I've worn in the past have the built-in liner, and I had to cut the liner out because I didn't like it. Not the case with the core shorts by Vuori. Like, they've done the built-in liner perfectly.
Yeah, and Vuori keeps, you know, things simple. Just in general, the design, it's not too loud, not too flashy. It's great gear for whatever you're doing, and I've always picking up more items when I walk by the store close to home.
So Vuori.com, that's Vuori.com/nothingmajor is where you need to go to get 20% off your first purchase. So make it a big one.
Exactly. Along with that 20% off your first order, you will get free shipping in the U.S. on orders over $75 and free returns. So make sure you make that first purchase a good one.
It's definitely worth checking out. We totally vouch for everything Vuori makes, especially their core shorts. They're awesome. So Vuori.com/nothingmajor. Let's get on with the pod.
On today's episode of Nothing Major, we're going to talk about the Montreal and Toronto, those amazing finals. Stevie, John, and myself, we are also on the ground here in Cincinnati. So we're going to talk about that and a few other little tidbits. Let's get going. All right, welcome back. It's just me and Stevie. John and Jack, they're just not here. We've been texting them. They should be on right now. We can't get a hold of them. So I don't know what to say.
John's also on the floor below me at the hotel, yeah. So I might have to go knock on his door.
Yeah, John's. We've texted him. We've called him. I'm assuming he'll jump on at some point, but he's just not here. He's not here. It's disappointing, to say the least. So we'll see if he pops in. All right, before we talk about Toronto and Montreal, a couple little things. You see that beach tennis event in, where was it? Europe somewhere?
I'm going to assume it's in Europe somewhere, but I was just watching the Gasquet and team highlights.
They're playing on a beach.
It's playing on a beach. It looks cool. Like, the stadium looks big. Like, yeah. It looks pretty impressive. It just, there were some tough bounces out there, as you would imagine playing on the on beach, I guess. Like, I've never tried it, but it looked cool. Looked like the people were into it. Team still has a wicked backhand. I mean, he hit a couple big ones. Just bummer he's still not playing. I feel like he would still be out here competing for these types of events here in the, you know, Canada and the U.S., but good to see him back.
Yep. Rafa had another kid. He kept that pregnancy, or his wife did, on the DL. I have no clue who had another baby coming.
It's a good effort. He's got the Mallorcan press in his pocket, you know. Nobody's leaking this information.
Good for the Nadals. We're in Cincy right now. You, me, John, we've been here for 3 days. We're tournament ambassadors, doing pro-ams, suite visits. I talked about, I think last week, I had been to Cincy like 12 days ago and saw the upgraded facilities. It wasn't done. Now it's completely done. What are your thoughts on this place now?
This place is phenomenal. What they were able to accomplish, what they were able to accomplish for the players, from the all the amenities, the dining, the players' lounges, the locker rooms, you name it, is amazing. But the fact that they did it in basically 11 months from the final last year to now, what they were able to accomplish in that amount of time is truly remarkable. The Navarros, Bob Moran, these guys and their teams, they put together an incredible, incredible venue. And I want to say, arguably, maybe the best facilities for players on the tour. I mean, all things considered, they have done an amazing job. I mean, these tournaments are long. The draws are bigger. There's more players. This is going to be, I think we'll tackle Indian Wells at some point in the near future as best Master Series on tour.
I think it's going to win this year. When the players vote this year for best Master Series, I think Cincinnati is going to win. I think it's going to win.
From the player standpoint, from the practice, they have these amazing courts, from everything, the convenience, the ease. They really have left no stone unturned, and I'm actually really excited to see what is going to shape out for next year, because you know they have more things in the plans. They couldn't get everything done in a year, right? So they're going to do more. I'm just excited to keep seeing this tournament grow because it's remarkable.
Yeah, it's fun. And you, me, and John, we've been here. We've been doing suite visits, pro-am. We are serving drinks. We were making the signature cocktails at the Dobell bar. We've played some padel. We got more stuff today. So it's been really fun. But anyway, let's talk about tennis. Toronto, it's been over. We've been ripping the new format. It's been over now for like 3 days. Ben Shelton, champion in Toronto, taking out Taylor Fritz in the semis and then Karen Khachanov in the finals. That amazing final. We talk about Ben Shelton on here a lot. It's the best I've seen him play all year, especially that semifinal against Fritz and then that final against Khachanov. Tell me if you agree with me. I feel like Brian Shelton, his dad and coach, like maybe coach of the year, but he's been putting together amazing game plans. And then it feels like Ben is so talented that like whatever game plan Brian puts together, Ben can execute it. If that means serve and volley more, do that. If that means hit more chips on the backhand side, do that. If that means hit through the backhand, he can do that. He can be ultra aggressive on the forehand. And he hit a couple of returns in that match, in both matches, harder than I've ever seen before. He can also play the high heavy looper. It like doesn't matter the game plan that Brian puts together. He puts together a smart game plan and then Ben is able to execute it. That's kind of what I'm seeing when I watch it.
It's remarkable. He is insane. His growth on the tennis court is you seem like every like few months, there's just like another big piece to his game that's getting better, or there's a hole that's kind of getting shored up where it's, you know, okay, like a year ago or 2 years ago, like, okay, maybe his backhand's going to let him down. And now you watch him play these matches and it might let him down for a game or two, but over the course of a match, over the course of a tournament, he's getting better and better. And look, he is an athlete. We've talked about it on here. His physicality, I want to say, is unmatched on tour. Like, I know Sinner and Alcaraz and these guys and Novak are in incredible shape. And I mean, just walking around, seeing him at the courts this week here in Cincinnati, I mean, he is built like a Mack truck. I mean, I haven't seen him for a couple of years, or like a year, you know, since we've been in a locker room, right, or at the US Open. I mean, he is physically insane. So you know he's going to be ready week in and week out. That's why I've always thought he's done well at slams, because his physicality takes over. But this last week in Toronto, he's won 2 matches, 6 in the third, another one 7-5 in the third.
He doesn't slow down either. The serve is firing at 140 in the tiebreakers in the third.
And you feel as if that part of a game is unteachable to a certain degree. His clutch, his moxie, his aura of when he gets to these big moments, he doesn't feel like he flinches.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell, right? Because we're not playing against him. You don't feel that, you know, like in person, but watching him on TV, watching him in person, he gets to these big moments and you just feel like he is going to slowly take care of business. You know, everything kind of slows down. And if you don't have that, you can't win. I mean, some of the best of all time have that gene, and he has it. And he's still young. He's still going to get better and better and better. He's not even close to his peak of his tennis yet.
Sinner, Alcaraz, I trust the most. Ben is like slowly getting to like the third guy that I trust the most in big moments, whether that's Master Series or slams, to like pull through.
I mean, you look at all his slam results, like he's making second weeks of all these slams, he's making deep runs, and then he's losing to Jannik, Carlos, and Novak.
Yeah.
Like, he's not losing to anybody else when he gets to these moments. So he's going to figure it out. Like, I trust wholeheartedly that he and Brian and his team will figure it out. And he is, you know, John is probably the biggest supporter of, I mean, just, you know, he's very much on board with him. I mean, I still think it's he and Taylor that is going to be the first Americans to win the slam.
Who do you think is going to end the year number one? Sorry, not what American is going to be higher, Ben or Taylor at the end of the year?
It's a good question. I'm interested to see.
I feel like every time we have this little debate when an American starts to challenge Fritz, Fritz like instantaneously pops a big result.
Yep.
He does it every time. Every time we're not doubting him, but we think someone might surpass him. He's like, no.
He's like, no.
And he puts together something.
I don't know. That's a good one because I'm interested to see how Taylor goes to the Open. I mean, that's going to be happening in a couple weeks. He made finals last year. So I want to see how I don't see any issues for him, but maybe there's some residual or lingering effects of maybe nerves or expectations since he made a final last year that he might struggle to deal with, which I don't think he will, but that could be a problem. But I don't know. I think Taylor is the guy, like you just said, somebody kind of gets to his heels a little bit, he pulls away.
Yeah.
But I don't see that happening with Ben. That's going to be a good race for the rest of the year.
I'm still taking Taylor.
Yeah.
But it'd be close. But Ben's gone from 10 to 9 to 8 to 7 to 6.
You get two guys in the top five? Two Americans in the top five?
No. They're going to end 5 and 6.
Oh, okay. Who do you got?
I think it's going to be Sinner, Alcaraz,
okay.
Zverev.
Who's the other name?
Oh, sorry. Let me rephrase that. I think it's going to be Sinner, Alcaraz, Zverev, Fritz, someone else, Shelton.
Who's that someone else?
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
It could be anyone. It could be anyone.
I think he's going to catch Draper. I think we're going to get two in the
Draper
top five.
Draper's like still kind of hurt too.
Yeah.
Poor Draper, by the way, that mixed doubles at the Open, he was playing with King Wen Zhen. She pulled out. He repaired with Paula Badosa after the crazy breakup to Tsitsipas. Now Badosa's pulled out. Now Draper's solo again for the mixed doubles. Unless Coco Gauff plays with him, which he probably won't. He's just going to be buying a ticket and watching with the rest of us.
All right.
But massive playing from Shelton. He had a return, by the way, go to that breaker. We talked about this at 5-2 in the third set breaker. Khachanov hit a serve and Shelton hit a return winner harder than I've ever seen a return be hit. The guys do that now. It's not just Shelton either. No. It's the others. They hit balls as hard as they can, but it's like somehow looks controlled too.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's going to go out, but kind of, I guess my last point on Ben would be that kind of calmness that he has when you're in the face of adversity. I mean, he's down love 40 in the second set, I believe, trying to serve out the second set down love 40. He just calmly goes about his business. There's no panic there. Gets a hold and then, carries on. So
do you think Ben's a slam contender yet or no? Do you have to see him?
Yes.
Do you need to see him
no.
Make a final or beat Sinner or Alcaraz?
No, I don't think I need to see him make a final. I think his physicality and his ability to be fresh for 2 weeks. I don't think he's ever going to get tired. I think he's such a freak in that manner. Like he works so hard on his body and on his fitness. I just think it's at this point, we haven't seen anyone beat Sinner and Alcaraz back to back in a slam.
It's impossible.
I do think guys can win a slam, but I do think they're going to need some help from one of their fellow gentlemen in the locker room to, beat Alcaraz in a quarter or beat Sinner. They need Grigor to beat Yannick in the, round of 16 at Wimbledon, and then somebody else can beat Carlos. I just think it's going to be hard for somebody to beat Carlos on Friday and Yannick on Sunday or vice versa in a slam back to back 3 out of 5.
The current crop, it's impossible. I literally impossible. Think it's impossible. Okay. It's impossible.
So just zero.
No 0%. One can. 0% okay. Chance anyone Fair. Can do that.
You got it.
In the current 100. Assuming Alcaraz and Sinner are not hurt. It's just not possible.
No. I just think that's a tough ask.
Yeah, it's very tough. Women's side, the women's event was awesome too. Imboko beating Osaka, like, great story for both of those women. One pet peeve, one pet peeve about the Canada. I believe the women's final, Montreal and Toronto, they're both same time zone. And they started the finals kind of around the same time. I think the women maybe started
they got a stagger
1 hour
that,
or 30 right? minutes prior to the men. Start one at 5 and start the next one at 7:30. Like, you couldn't, unless you got multiple TVs at the house, you can't watch both.
That was like a bit of a miss, I felt like. You're right.
These 11-day events, people have been grinding with you, and you're like, okay, we've made it till the end. You know what? We're going to put them both on at the same time, so you can't
pick
watch
one.
Them both.
You don't get to watch both. You pick one, and that's it.
Yeah. So, anyway. Imboko, unbelievable. She take home wild card into the event from Canada, 18 years old, takes out Osaka, 1-6, 6-2, 6-1. But not only Osaka, Rybakina. I mean, she took out Coco Gauff. She took out Rybakina, Kennen, save match points against Rybakina too. Pretty impressive from her. She is the real deal. So exciting. I mean, it was a big enough moment that when she won the title during Shelton's match with Khachanov, midway through their match, the crowd started cheering. And I don't know if you saw, like, Shelton and Khachanov were like, what is going on? And they're like, no, that's because Imboko just won the title over in Montreal. So, like, that only happens in sports, like, in massive moments. So that just goes to show how big that is. But she is an absolute star in the making. Let me start here. Is she a slam contender already in your mind? I mean, this is her maiden title, and it's a master series.
That's impressive to have your maiden title be a master series for and in your home country. Look, we know that it's some players love to play in their home environment. They get that boost from the crowd. They get everything they want from that. And some players go the opposite direction where it's extremely nerve-wracking. They want to perform so badly in front of their home crowd that it kind of hampers them a little bit. So to see her at this young age, you know, she started the year outside of the top 300. She's going to be seated at the US Open. You know, she is a star in the making. Her game is fun to watch. She's extremely athletic. I mean, she hits the crap out of the ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, her poise during this event to go out there, beat incredible players, Gauff, Osaka, Rybakina, down match points. Yes, I do think she's a slam contender for sure.
I do too. Like, I trust her. I don't feel like this is just going to be like kind of a one hit wonder a little bit. Like, she's got the game, the mindset. I think we've got 10 more years, 12 more years of Imboko just, I'm not going to say dominating, but in the top, you know, I think she's going to be in the top 5.
I think she's competing for slams now, obviously at the US Open, and going forward for the next decade plus, she is somebody that we are going to be talking about quite frequently, you know, at later stages of these events for the foreseeable future.
To do it at home too, if I was 18 in the finals of Cincinnati, I'd be so nervous in the home.
Exactly.
And she, and not to say she wasn't nervous, but she fought through the nerves somehow and came through so good. You watch the speeches in the end?
There was a lot to be desired.
Can Osaka just like act like an adult for 5 minutes? Just give a nice speech, fake it for a minute, and then move on to the locker room. It drives me nuts.
It drives me nuts. Because look, as athletes, as you know, you take the good with the bad. You can't just take praise when you're playing well, and you can't, you know, I get it. It's a tough moment. Like, we saw Sabalenka have the same. I mean, we've seen on the men's side too, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think Sabalenka deserves what she got after the French Open talking about that loss. Because, you know, she was critical of her own game and didn't thank Coco. Like, in a way, it's like, okay, you get to the biggest stage and you lose and you talk to the press 10 minutes later. Like, you haven't had time to process it. Like, your mind's not that clear. Like, nobody on their regular day job is getting talked about. Like, oh, did you have a bad day at the office? Like, sometimes it's hard, and she's going to figure it out, but at least give an honest answer. Thank your opponent, right? Like, do these things and move on. Nobody talks about it. I know it's hard to do, but as an athlete, like, that's your job.
You're also getting, like, she's going to make $30 million. Like
you can't just,
you got to fake it for a minute and give a half decent speech.
I'm with you on that.
Congratulate your opponent. Like, but having said that, great week for Osaka. I mean, kind of, she hasn't been playing great. There's been little signs here and there, but to make a final, it kind of puts her back in the mix of the talking points that, like, she can go to the US Open now and make a run to the semis, finals, maybe win it.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, she had a great week. I know it's hard to lose a final. I mean, I've never lost a Master Series final, but I've lost other finals. It's hard, but you got to just put on that, you know, fake it for 10 minutes, get to the locker room, whatever. And it's just, you know, it's definitely just tricky in that moment because Mboko had just said she's like, you know, was a massive, her idol was Osaka, like looking up to her in the days prior. So that, you know, even if you're an opponent or a player, you see these things, like you hear these things, you know, that sometimes it's just, you just got to swallow a little bit of pride after a loss like that and just tough it out and say congratulations and move on. And then no one's talking about it.
She's going to be seated at the Open too. So she's going to have a little bit better draw. I'm sure the other women are happy that they don't have to worry about Osaka floating around the draw as an unseeded player.
There's both a bunch of
Mboko and Osaka, both seated at the Open.
Which is good because there's a lot of dangerous floaters out there and you don't want to play. I mean, if you're Sabalenka or you don't want to play one of those first round or Swiatek, like you want to get away from those draws, play them, you know, third or fourth match, get some reps under your belt. Get into the tournament. So, but an impressive week for Mboko. Really cool to watch. Awesome. To win your, I mean, how cool would that be to win a Master Series, your first title? Like, if you win your first title for you, Indian Wells, Miami, you know, Cincy, how cool would that be?
It's amazing. I mean, it's so amazing. It's a little bummer. She fell and hurt her wrist. I think that's why she pulled out of Cincinnati this week.
Yeah.
So, a little bummer for the Cincinnati fans, but understandable. But she'll be back ready to go for the Open. All right, let's talk about Cincy. Early stages, again, these, when we film these pods, it's tricky with these new formats because we're filming on Sunday right now. This is going to come out on Monday. We're going to be through like two and a half rounds in Cincy. Sinner's got a big lead on Alcaraz still. He has the big lead in the rankings. Alcaraz has a lead in the race.
Do we need to go backwards and figure out how the race works?
Right. Do you think Sinner's going to put together, like last year, starting from right now, he dominated, winning Cincy, the Open, Shanghai, year-end. He won everything, basically, on the hard courts. Is he going to replicate that again and run away with the race to end the year number one, or does Carlos fend him off, and does Carlos end the year number one?
I think Carlos ends the year number one.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I just think, look, and he also had a three-month head start, right? I mean, Sinner was out for four Master Series. So I just think he gets him, but it entirely depends on the big events. I mean, you know, you win the Open, that's 2,000 points, like, one of these guys loses kind of early, right? If you lose in the quarters, you know, and somebody wins it, they're going to get a 1,500-point head start, right? Just in that event. So it'll be interesting to see. I think Carlos gets him at the end of the year. I think Carlos, you know, I've kind of seen, like, after the loss to Wimbledon, he kind of put things into perspective, but he, you know, I think that was a kick in the pants for him. Be like, I need to be better, right? Because these guys are pushing each other. They see what they're doing. It's the same with Roger, Rafa, Novak the last 15 years. These guys push one another to get better and raise their level. So he sees how good Yannick's playing on the hard court. He's going to work solely on how to beat Yannick because he feels like he can beat everybody else on tour. So I think, I mean, this is going to be a great rivalry. We're going to see them in a couple more finals, I think, throughout the year. Would love to see them in the U.S. Open final. I think that would be electric. But we're a long way from that. But we watched Yannick play yesterday.
He lost like 7 points to the Colombian guy.
Yeah, Elan. He looked good. Didn't look like he was rusty at all from the 3.5 week absence from Wimbledon. So he came back and was just hammering balls from the baseline. And it was over quick.
I don't think Giannis is going to be as dominant as he was last year in this last, you know, 4 months. But I think it's going to be close. I think he's going to win like 5 tournaments. I think he's going to pass Alcaraz and end the year number one. I do think that.
All right.
If our other guys showed up today, we would get their opinion. But they didn't. So,
but yeah,
we'll get it.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I was just looking yesterday, or it'll be interesting. I think, I might backtrack a little bit because I've seen Carlos's schedule the rest of the year.
Ooh, how did you see it?
I'm just saying, like, what he's playing, right? So he's playing Cincinnati, right. US Open. He's going home to Davis Cup in Europe.
Yeah.
To America for Laver Cup.
Yep.
And like to Asia, right? Like, that just could be a lot going on, which I don't think Yannick is either playing Davis Cup. I haven't seen him playing Davis Cup or Laver Cup. So he could just maybe be on a quieter schedule to finish the year, maybe, you know, be fresh in Beijing, Shanghai, and, you know, Vienna, Paris, whatever he's going to play the rest of the year. That'd just be a lot of travel for Carlos.
Is Carlos a guy that goes private jet everywhere now, you think?
Like overseas?
Yeah, you think when he goes like Spain, to Laver Cup in California. It's like a 12-hour flight.
Hmm.
Is he private jet guy everywhere?
I mean,
I'm saying yes.
Yeah, I think he puts that in his deal.
You think he's taking a commercial flight this year? Carlos Alcaraz.
This year,
flight. Take out the trip to Australia.
Yeah, one commercial flight.
Mm-hmm. Has he taken a commercial flight?
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah. But no Australia trip.
Take Australia. I think okay. He went commercial.
You think he's got a airline number just like Raj?
Gosh, I want to know. It's my number one question.
I think he's taking a commercial flight, yeah.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say has not stepped foot on a commercial airline besides the Australia trip.
All right.
Again, number one question. If he ever comes on the pod, that'll be the first question we ask.
Let's just hunt him down today in the locker room on the grounds and ask him.
Hey, how did you get to Cincinnati, Carlitos? Like,
I took two stops through Newark. Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Took United right. Flight like 38 to Newark and then Newark to Cincinnati.
Grinded in the custom lines. He probably didn't have lounge access in Newark either. Had to like just sit by the gate for like
Correct.
3 hours.
That's exactly what happened.
Oh, man. Let's talk about the Masters series a little bit. With the big four, and I consider it the big three. I don't – like Murray is so good. But when it comes to the Masters series, it's the big four because Murray crushed the Masters series. So Roger, Rafa, Novak, Murray. Which one of these guys – I'm going to name a handful of guys. And if they were in their – which one of these guys got robbed, do you think, the most of winning like a bunch of Masters series? Raonic, Kevin Anderson, Gael Monfils. Gasquet, Nishikori, they never won a Masters series.
Sam Querrey.
I never even made the semifinals.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you weren't very good.
I know. Those guys, like, of those guys, when I read off, yeah, Raonic, Anderson, Monfils, Gasquet, Nishikori, if I would have been like, hey, how many Masters series do they have combined? Off the top of your head, what would you have said?
Seven.
Yeah, they have zero.
Yeah.
They have zero Masters series. Of those names, who do you think is, like, the best that you think without the big four would have won the most Masters series?
I'm going to say Gasquet. He just had the longest career and I think the best career.
Yeah.
Out of those guys, you know, the most titles, not the highest ranking per se, but for a short period of time, I would have said Raonic because he was top five. He had an absolute cannon, was beating, you know, Roger, Rafa and Novak. She showed the ability to, but I think Gasquet for me would be out of those five guys just because his career. But then you throw Nishikori in there. Very good.
I know.
He made a slam final and played Cilic. So like, I don't know. I would say Gasquet just he had the most titles, probably the best longevity of any of those guys consistently and would have been knocking at the door. I mean, Gael, I think maybe was the most talented, but just, you know, Gael, he wanted to entertain more than he wanted to win. It felt like as somebody who's playing against him.
There's a handful of guys that only won one. Ferrer, Burdich, Soderling, Del Potro, Wawrinka. They only won one, which is also crazy because I would have thought, honestly, Ferrer, I think, would have like eight. He would have won like...
Correct.
A Monte Carlo, Rome, Madrid.
No. Rafa won every one of those.
He won every one of those. Without Rafa alone, Ferrer probably has like five.
What's amazing to me is looking at this list, Wawrinka has three slams and one Master Series.
I know.
That's amazing. Nuts. How good is that?
That's actually really cool.
That's a cool stat.
It's such a flex on people.
That is a cool stat. I mean, because, yeah, I have to do some research on this, but we were calling, I mean, this is a couple weeks old now. Emma Raducanu has one title. It's a Grand Slam. Like, I don't think there's another person in like the last 50 years, men or woman, who has one title and it only being a single slam.
I wonder if like at the end of the day, she retires with one tournament win and it's a major.
I'm kind of rooting for her to only win. Like if she wins another tournament, I want it to be a slam.
Yeah.
I want her to have like four slams and zero titles.
Zero titles.
Yeah. It would be incredible.
All right. Of all these guys, which player would have the most Masters 1000s if it wasn't for the big four? Ferrer, Burdich, Soderling, Delpo, Wawrinka.
I'm going to say Ferrer.
Saying Ferrer too.
He's just more consistent.
Yep.
You look at that list. Soderling, it just didn't prove it long enough. Delpo just wasn't healthy long enough. You know, if he's healthy, I think I take Delpo. And Stan, I don't know. He just like his powers just got so much bigger at the Grand Slam level. Like, I just don't get it. You know, like he beat world number ones. He just did it at the slams in those big moments. So I think that's like more impressive.
Yeah, it's Ferrer for me too. I literally think he had like five if he didn't have to deal with the big four, but God, those guys, the big four just took every slam, every Masters series, every single one for like a decade. All right, I want to try. You want to do life advice?
I'm completely in for life advice.
All right, we brought this up last week. We want to do life advice segment. I am picking this one.
You got one?
I got one.
So we're just going to tease one life advice for the people here, and just you and me.
Should I say the person's name, or is that? No, I can't say the person's name. This is from. All right, we're going to get to life advice. I'm going to read the question. I hate my job. Hi, guys. Need your advice. I'm a construction project manager. I've been doing it for 5 years now. Before that, I was an architect for 6 years. I hate my job, even though it pays well, but it's a grind for me. I don't enjoy any aspect of it besides the money, and the money is what's keeping me from changing it. I got accepted into medical school this year, which is a lifelong dream, but I'm getting cold feet because I don't want to be broke for 7 years and then be in hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt. I don't know what I have to do. I have no other thing in mind that I would like to do. What do you guys think? Would you continue to do a job you hate for the money? Should I just man up and stick with it? You want to go first? You want me to?
My opinion changes on life advice based on, I would like to know if he has a family.
We don't know. I'm saying stick in your current job. Project manager for 5 years, architect for 6 years before that. This guy's got to be like
I'm saying
30,
mid-30s, right?
To hit at least 30. To hit med school right now for 7 years.
Correct. That's a bloodbath.
It's too much of an undertaking. It's too much of an undertaking to do that, go into debt and then be like late 30s. I think you either got to grind it out or look for a new job that's not medical
Correct.
School.
If he has
should
a
we
fan-
make a should we tell people like we're not registered therapists or anything before we do this?
As long as you or end like, with like, hey man, I don't know, maybe.
That's
like I feel like that's legally binding that we're not giving absolute terror.
Right.
You know, so just end with that.
Yeah, you're right.
But if he has like a family and kids, right? Like I say, stick with his job.
For sure.
Look, he's gonna regret it if he doesn't follow his passion. Get into medical school.
Get out of here. No.
You'll
no,
be fine. What do you mean? Why
what
not?
What do you mean? You can't make that. You had to make that decision 7 years ago, 8 years ago.
No, you don't have to. If he's like a single guy and he hates his job, whatever. Single guy, single female, doesn't matter. Like, follow your passion, dude. You're gonna regret it. It's not too late to change
careers.
It's not. Why is it too late?
It's too late to go to become a doctor. You can go 7 years of med school right now.
That sounds like a big undertaking. You're right.
You can change careers to another career that's going to spit out some profit or some a living right away. You cannot get into med school right now. Family, no family.
Yeah. Well, it actually, you know what? I think you're right. Just rereading the question here. He's doing his job based on money. So if he likes that it pays well, he's not going to like that he's going to absolutely get shell-shocked for the next 7 years of medical school, then another like 15 years of like—
Then you're in debt.
Yeah. If he's doing it for the money, he's got to stay with it and just find like a new job. Like maybe he just hates the people he works with.
Are we on the same page that he should not go to med school?
Yeah. No, I'm flip-flopping per
Don't
usual.
Don't do it. Don't
yeah,
go to med
it's,
school.
If he's doing his job for the money now, he's not going to like going backwards and doing something— That's going to put him in debt for 15 years.
Yeah. Again, we're also idiots. So
hey, but
you don't
also,
have to listen to
we
this.
Don't know.
But great life advice question. I want more of these because we want to help the people just like we just did. All right. Anyway, great life advice question. We might do that every episode. All right. I guess that's it for the Monday. We're going to be back on Friday.
It's still confusing these Master Series.
We don't
know where
we're at. Friday to talk a few. About, we're going to be like round four of the quarterfinals of Cincy. But then the next week is going to be good. We're start previewing the Open. Oh, John, thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us, buddy. Where you been? We were just closing the show. You sleep in? You have a nice night of rest?
Little snooze. There's no excuse. There's no excuse.
Wait, hold on. Maybe get his quick opinion on life advice.
Life advice guy just wrote in. He's probably like he or she, we don't know, maybe like 30 years old looking to quit their job to start med school.
Okay.
I said, definitely not. Stevie kind of ended on like, don't do it.
I don't think he should do it. That's like 15 years of a grind. It's too much.
At 30?
We think.
They referenced having another job for about 11 years already. And a good job. They've got a good job right now, but they don't like it. But they make a good living, but maybe want to follow their passion, jump into med school for 7 years.
And with a good job right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. At 30,
Can't
that's tough. Yeah.
You want to give us your take on Shelton real quick?
What was the question? Just his take in general?
We were just talking about how good he was in Toronto and like his clutchness. I was saying that like Brian could put together any game plan. Ben's able to execute it. Stevie mentioning that he's just like so incredibly athletic, got that clutch gene that you just kind of have or you don't.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to have it. He certainly has it right now. I mean, Stevie and I were talking about yesterday how he won three matches.
All right, I think that's enough. That's probably enough from John, huh? If we got his input, I mean.
That's fine. It's fair enough, too.
Just joking. Give us what you think.
I can't even get mad at that. I deserve it. So
yeah.
Just poor form for me. But no, he definitely does have the clutch gene. I mean, 3 matches, 7-6 in the third last week. One match, he was down 5-4 in the third returning. So he's got it. He's got it. And I mean, he played his best tennis in all those third set tiebreakers as well, especially in the finals against Kachanov.
I think it was only two third set tiebreakers.
It was three.
I thought he beat
Brandon 7-5.
Nakashima 7-5 in the third.
He beat Nakashima 7-6 in the third. Kaboli
7-6 in the third, and Khachanov.
Mm-hmm.
The Nakashima one wasn't 7-5. I don't want you coming on late and then spitting out improper facts too. You know,
I can come on late and know my facts. 7-6 in the third.
You were right. Crap. yeah, it's like
what did I miss? Really quick, what did I miss? It's just the nuggets.
Well, listen to the show.
I've always listened to the show.
We talked about which guys without the big four. Which guys would have the most master series? Like Wawrinka, Delpo, Murray, Burdich, Ferrer, Sangha, those guys. We both thought Ferrer.
Yeah.
Talked a little since. Tell us who's winning. Who's going to end the year number one? Sinner or Alcaraz?
Sinner.
I think so too. Stevie thinks Alcaraz.
Well, he has a lead already.
Right yeah, now, but see, I mean, all that Alcaraz matters is who wins the Open. 2,000 points there, and yeah. I think that's going to determine it.
All right.
Good show.
That's it. If you want to,
my bad, guys. I'm gonna look forward to the social clip of me coming on.
The crazy thing, we were with you the last 48 hours, like all day.
I know, but is it mentioned that we're recording it a little bit? Like, it's no excuse.
We're recording early.
We're recording at 8:15. You're like Davidovich Fokina complaining about the 11 a.m. start.
It's not an early thing. It's not an early thing. There's no excuse. I'm just going to stop. There's no excuse. It's just poor form. And I hope you guys can forgive me.
Forgiven.
We forgive you.
Thank you.
All right. We're on Nothing Major Show, TikTok, Instagram, X, YouTube. And we'll see you guys on Friday. See you then.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10/1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.